Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Yesterday, all the drama, all the strategy and silliness from VO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for July 27th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Iman. How you doing, Iman?
Hey, I'm good. Yesterday was like the big frenzy. Today was like the big calm down for some of them, at least. I'm excited to dive into it.
Yes, we are here to update on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 24 live feeds. It was day 21 in the house. And things are being kept calm. The plan is still in place and everything's going to be okay. Is pretty much the headline here. There's a few things to talk about through the day, but it's mostly just anticipating the eventual, what still is a blindside here on Thursday. So just a few things to get through, just like a few more things that will probably make you annoyed or upset. But as Taylor is going to tell us herself on the feeds, it's okay. Things are going to turn out well.
Yeah, I admire Taylor. I'll just leave it at that.
All right. Well, of course, Turner is the HOH. He has he initially nominated Brittany and Michael. They took themselves down. He then blindsided Amira and Terrence. Amira thinks she has the votes to stay because of Pose Pack and the fact that the Leftovers, which is the alliance that came together to make this move happen, they have been lying to her and tricking her into thinking that she has the votes to stay. So we start the day here with Alyssa talking to Amira, and they talk about the votes and that how Amira thinks that she has the votes to stay. She thinks that, Joseph's been telling her she's good. Daniel and Nicole told her she has their votes, even though they were kind of a little weird about it and they weren't sure at first, but they should be voting for her to stay. Obviously, you know, they've got Poe's pack, hopefully. So she should be good.
I keep diving in and out of feeling sorry for Amira because, I mean, yesterday she kept asking people that are allegedly aligned with her, like, oh my God, you swear you didn't know? You didn't know that I was going up? You swear? And everyone is just playing in her face. And then I feel like just a touch bad. And then stuff comes out of her mouth and I'm like, oh, no, you got to go. This is great. This is great. You're leaving. Cannot wait for Thursday. So I anticipated Amira being a little bit more in touch with how things usually happen in this game, but she's, you know, a casual masquerading as a fan of the game. So what else can we expect?
Yeah, I say this all the time, but like, I think it's okay to like have empathy even when they deserve it, like they're getting their comeuppance. It's also fine to recognize suffering in another human being and go, oof, oh yeah, man, yeah, that must suck.
Definitely. I feel like I tend to do that a little bit more than most people, and I think that I'm trying to tap into my cutthroat energy just a little bit more because, like, if I ever want to play this game, I can't operate that way. Like, I just can't. Like, it doesn't mean that I can't be kind, but yeah, it was definitely a battle going back and forth for me.
Yeah, I think the true cutthroatedness is fully embracing, that does suck. Like Pooch, he volunteered and he's so excited to play this game. And it really is like he's a Pooch and he's just being led off a cliff here. Oh, it's so painful and so good. Yeah, oh, yes.
Kick him off.
He deserves it. You can both at once. That's the way to do it. So Alyssa also is going to tell Amira about the conversation she had with Kyle last night. So this is obviously something that we talked about yesterday, that Kyle talked, especially with Turner and then also with Monty a bit, about how he's going to have a conversation with Alyssa to basically friend zone her for the duration of the season and say that we're going to not do anything until jury, at least, or after the season, or whatever it is, you know, basically, like, if you make jury, then yeah. He had that conversation with her the night before, and, you know, she was still kind of trying to flirt with him and stuff, but despite that fact, she did get the message, and she tells Amira, yeah, talked with Kyle last night, he said, you know, we should basically just be friends until we get outside of the game, and I was like, okay, lame, but whatever.
Alyssa, it's really bad for you. It's so bad for you. You really need to accept this and move on. And then on Kyle's end, I do like that he's being super proactive about making sure that not only Alyssa understands this first and foremost, but that everyone else also understands this. I feel like this is something that he could really get away with, even if he did want to, you know, canoodle with her a bit, because he's done such a good job of creating an alliance without her and going all in on this alliance without her and stating, this is not a bad idea to have her up close to me and talking to me and giving me information. We can really use that to our advantage. So I really felt like if he did want to, you know, canoodle a little bit, you know, make out for 5+ hours, I don't think that his alliance members would really be that upset about it. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to spend a lot of the day like really going hard at the idea of like, we're not together. Let's target her. I'm totally down.
I don't think you need to do all that.
it does feel like a lot. I think he's trying to really sell the idea that he's not attached to her so that people don't feel the need to split them up. But I think that you get to a point where you cross the line to the other side, where it's just going to make people think like, man, this guy is so cutthroat.
Yeah. And I don't want to see him that way quite yet, because it's very entertaining right where we're at right now, where she is just like, oh, Kyle, wherefore art thou, Kyle? And he is like, bye bye. So it's funny, but I feel like, yeah, you doing all of this, like, are you like, and you know how she can be a little bit, you get like a little taste of it when she comes out of the house and you're like, hey, so what's up? You trying to like hit up a little movie or something, a little, you know, drive in cinema? And then she's like, no, I saw what you said about me on the feeds. Like, you know, we want to keep your options open just a little bit. Just a little bit.
All right. So so they've got that going on. Taylor, as I said, does talk to the cameras here. She says, and here's the thing I think that you have to remember when we're talking about Taylor throughout the whole day, really. Yeah. Her experience with the mistreatment that she has had is, you know, a few comments that have been told to her by various people within the Leftover Alliance. And even from their perspective, like, because they were not the ones involved in most of the trash talking, they don't know the extent of it. Monty probably has a bit of an idea, but he is not saying the things that he said or the things that he was involved in, because that was not great. So even just the stuff she's getting from people like Brittany and Kyle and Turner, like, they don't even know the half of it, really. And so she knows the half, the quarter of it from them, and then still doesn't really know a lot of other things. And so from her perspective, like, what Daniel has done to her is that argument on the day of the veto. And that's mostly it. And she's going to learn a couple things from Brittany today about Jasmine. But like, for the most part, it's just kind of like general blaming, taking things out of context. And like, maybe isolating a bit. She really doesn't know how much. So from her perspective, she's telling the cameras like, oh man, my mom is going to be so upset at the Wednesday episode because of it's going to be like, I think in her mind, it's like, that's going to be the first big, like, anti-Taylor episode. Like, and so she's like, yeah, at the beginning of the episode is going to be hard for my people to watch here. But luckily it's going to end well.
Girl, it's been hard for us to watch since January or June or July 6th. Like, it's been hard. Okay. I don't think you need to worry about that. It's just another reminder of just like how much information is power in this game, because she doesn't even know how bad it is. She knows that it's bad, but she can only really surmise what's been going on behind her back based off of what people have been finally letting her in on. So I do think the things that she has been telling us into the camera, I feel like it's a pretty good idea of the types of things that have been going on. So it just makes me all the more excited about how she can move forward in this game once she does bunker down a bit more with her alliance members and creates that core alliance within the alliance. Because it feels like she knows what to do and how to take bits and pieces and create a larger picture. So, you know, Taylor, look, I feel like she's always had the skills for this game. She just got extremely crippled in the beginning through no fault of her own. So,
she also is going to say to the cameras, hey, Daniel wants to apologize to me today. I do like him as a person, but man, he really stooped to a level that was really disappointing. She does think that she is owed an apology. She just needs to take some space first so that she can take the apology seriously.
I loved hearing this, because I think that is something that gets lost a lot in human conflict. Like, person A messes up on person B gets mad, person A wants to apologize and for person B to get over it, but person B is still pissed. And you don't get to dictate when person B is ready to accept the apology. Yes, I feel like it would do everyone good for apologies to be accepted, but you have to, first of all, it's kind of like what Kemi said back in Big Brother 21. You need to know what you're apologizing for first, and I need to be ready to receive it, because if I'm still in this space where I'm like, the apology is null and void. I don't feel it yet. So I loved that she vocalize that. And I feel like it helps the rest of the fandom stop sharpening their knives as much too, when you have the person that has at the brunt of all of this saying, look, I'm going to hear him out. I'm going to hear him out when I'm ready. So,
and she, and you know, we'll get to it. She does hear him out. And, man, she is, in the midst of everything, still such a great person. So Taylor does talk to Brittany. They have a long conversation. She talks to Brittany about how, and this is a just like, it's just like, there's like a healing energy, coming off of these conversations. Taylor says like, it feels like I can finally breathe in this house. Brittany's like, I love that smile. It's like, yeah.
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. This is such a foreign feeling for me to have someone that you're rooting hardcore for actually get something. Like, it's like when Dave Vaughn won the Power of Veto. It was just like, what is happening? But I loved it. I really did. It just felt like finally some grace is given here. It's great.
Yeah. They talk about how Daniel should be the next one to go. That they kind of talk between Daniel and Nicole. They do feel kind of like it should be Daniel. They also talk about what happened during the confrontation that hopefully we will see tonight. It did happen, in the veto, area. So it should theoretically air tonight. I think based on what Taylor's saying and the way that she's, supposedly been talking about in the diary room, that hopefully we will see it, but we may not see all of it, especially considering that when she is talking through what Daniel was saying in the argument, the feeds would cut away. Some of the things that she got out there before the feeds cut away are that, he said, all of America is watching Taylor. Yeah, I think that
okay.
Doesn't, it's not a good thing for you. He initially apparently came out and was like, so are you going to quit the game? And she thought he was joking. And so she was trying to like joke back. And that's when he was like, all of America is watching. She remembers him calling her fake. She can't remember if he called her the B word. He said, don't speak to me until finale.
Okay. Okay. And this is like, he's acting all big and bad when he thinks that she's going to be the one that's going up. Now look at you looking like boo boo the fool. You dummy.
Well, he's actually very glad. We'll get to it. So she says to Brittany, I know his apology is coming. She hopes it's genuine because it's going to be really ugly for him when he gets out of the house.
Yeah, very much so. I think that this is the right call in getting rid of him first because then you're sort of just left with Nicole, because the two of them are really only two real allies that each other of them have, except maybe like there's like this whole thing with Nicole and Terrence, but Terrence is unreliable. So yeah, you get rid of him first. You're festy besties with Nicole. So you would have to go up on the block if you wanted to get Nicole out. And you'd most likely have the votes to stay over her. So definitely the correct sequence of events as far as Taylor is concerned.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
She talks more about just like the situation and how she says I got emotional when Turner and I'm wondering, specifically if she's talking about her conversation with Turner or if she's talking about the ceremony itself. And maybe that's part of like the performance that she gave in terms of like not knowing that it was going to happen, that she genuinely was emotional, she says, when Turner said what he did, because she knows how close Daniel and Nicole think they are with Turner. And so for him to still stand up and say what he did, it meant a lot. And she got emotional when it happened.
Yeah. Everyone needs help at some point, you know. I've always been like sort of careful about how I like I'm writing for Taylor, because I never want to infantilize her and strip her of her agency. Like, she's a grown woman. She's been able to handle this these past 3 weeks with so much maturity and grace, and she knows it. But I still feel like it must feel good to have some relief and to have someone hear you and see you and be like, yeah, you know what? You are being persecuted and I'm not on my watch. Not on my watch, said Turner.
So they also talk about how the vote being split is going to hopefully cause some chaos. There's more talk about that throughout the day, some fun ideas that I really hope that they do. But we'll get to that. Taylor also talks about how she says, Jasmine was trying to tell me that she hasn't said anything about me. Brittany's like, oh, Jasmine was the one. Night one. Oh, I don't like Taylor. She's not a girl's girl. Yes.
Finally,
tell her.
Brittany using her powers in a good way for good. Finally.
Her throwing under the bus powers.
Because it was not looking good for you since a week ago. We'll accept this one.
Taylor says, look, I don't want to say it out loud yet, but I think you know who I want sitting in those final two chairs. And Brittany's like, mm-hmm. And she says, and I think you know who I want to bring with us there to the end. Brittany's like, same wavelength. I'm thinking the same thing. And this is the same thing that Taylor was saying to Michael. Although she said to Michael, final three, essentially. She's saying to Brittany, final two, with Michael as the third. Which actually puts Brittany in a pretty decent spot. She just needs to win respect enough that she can win the game against either Michael or Taylor, which is not looking great.
Yeah.
But hey,
the narrative's not there for you yet.
Yeah,
but
it's early.
It's still very early. You got some time to make it happen. But I think that this could be solid. I mean, you need to have a core, and I think that this is definitely a good core. As far as Brittany is concerned, you are going to be able to align with someone who you know has has been alone pretty much this entire game. So there really isn't any reason, because the at first when Taylor said this, I was like, oh my God, I don't want Brittany to like use this against her at some point, which she still could do. I don't know how much. I mean, I don't feel like throwing Taylor under the bus is really going to do much for your game, because everyone's been throwing Taylor under the bus. So I really hope that Brittany is like, you know what, this is it. This is the one. This is the final two that I can rely on.
Mm-hmm. They also talk about, and this was interesting, that they feel really good about the leftovers getting to seven, because they say, look, it's an alliance of strong players. And basically what they talk about is that they think that once they get to seven, the strong players will want to take shots at each other and use them to move forward. So they think they're actually in a pretty good spot, and that they won't need to essentially break away from the alliance. Now, this obviously could be true, I would definitely be a little wary here. I don't know that it's the best idea to, you know, go into the lion's den and be like, no, these two lions are going to fight each other. It's going to be fine. They're not going to eat me first.
Yeah, go into the lion's den with like meat on you, talking about
exactly. They'll fight each other. They won't kill me first and then fight over my meat.
Right.
They'll kill each other first, and then I'll have an opportunity to escape the cage.
Right. It's like, okay. Yeah, I'm not sure. I can't quite get like a really solid read on the rest of the guys in this alliance, because it really is. It's really all guys and two girls, which really speaks to just how much the girls fumbled this year. I mean, granted, once again, Brittany did a lot of mistakes with this all-girls alliance and ratting it out immediately, and she did a lot. But at the same time, I do think that it speaks volumes in that, like, she did it because she never really felt included. She felt like she was othered by the rest of the girls. And the fact that these two girls are willing to go into the lion's den, it's just like, damn, y'all really pushed them away. That was such a fumble. And y'all had everything. Y'all had the recipe to run these guys out of here, and you lost it entirely. It's just, ooh. I mean, I'm really not one to always have the conversation about why. Like why X lost? Why the girls lost again? Like, I hate having that conversation, but I feel like this example is sort of like clear as day. They just really fumbled the ball this time around.
Yeah, and they're just like, how is it that like the people that aren't winning comps are running the house? Like, it's so weird. And it's like that's usually what you would hope for.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Really? Oh, they well, just, I mean,
yeah. And it's really like it all comes down to you know, really two things, but one, how they treated other people in the game to give them the motive to all band together. And then two, you know, loose lips. So, yeah. But I do think it took the combination of the two, because just having the information isn't usually enough to then be able to rally those troops, because oftentimes you have this like I would say under most circumstances, first of all, the women would have been able to just be like, yeah, well, let's not take out another woman. And right. They wouldn't have been targeting Taylor. But also players like Taylor and Brittany, if you approach those players, this happens all the time. People on the outs, they realize they're on the outs. They try to approach the people, other people who are on the outs, but those people feel like they have an in. They feel like, no. If I just stick over here, you're in trouble, not me. I'm mm-hmm. with the cool kids. And then it's not able to happen. So even when leaks do happen, they can't do anything about it. But when you treat people poorly and you exclude them and you isolate them, when these people who now find out, oh, something leaked, I know I need to do something, let's approach the outsiders. You go to them and they're like, oh, like, yes, somebody will treat me okay. Like you have given them the tools that they need here to succeed. So really a bad mistake here on the parts of these players. So yep. Nicole talks to Terrence, and he lets her know the votes that he thinks he might have. Michael, Brittany, and Taylor primarily. This is kind of going to get Brittany into some hot water. Taylor's later going to deny it. Michael is in the clear, because he's been really focusing on, convincing Amira that he's with them.
Oh yeah.
he thinks maybe the swings could be like, Nicole and Daniel, Kyle and Monty. Those are kind of the people that he's trying to aim for. And Nicole's just like, it's hard, you know, like I want to be on The Amazing Race with Amira after Big Brother. So
she loves the attention. She loves being in the middle, and no one could convince me otherwise. And the funny thing is, girl, you're not in the middle. Like, Amira is going home. So you can do all of this. Oh, but I love Amira. Oh, Libby and Terrence are old. But oh, me and Amira have this special relationship going on. But oh, me and Terrence have so many similar life experiences. But oh, you can do all of that stuff that you want. She's going home, and you are setting yourself up for a second helping of blindside. I cannot believe I'm saying this. Blindside Butterbeans. Y'all have really, I cannot believe we are using this phrase now. But that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing, Nicole. It's like, And, you know, and kudos to the rest of the Alliance for sort of putting those seeds out there to make this narrative that, oh, it's Nicole and Daniel. They're the ones that are going to decide. They're the ones that are sort of like the flip-floppers here. There is the one. They're the ones that we can blame for if something goes wrong. Look at those two, not us. So it's, you know, it's not exactly all of their fault here, but the fact that Nicole is so willing to be, to play, like she is starring in this movie right now. Like, which way? Which way will I go?
Like, and I don't like to make adventure. It about me. No, it's not about me. But it is. It's a little about me, right?
It's all about me, baby. Oh, oh my God. What am I going to do?
I also just, I want everybody to know that if you are using the phrase blindside butterbeans, I have no problem with it, but I do think that you are ceding your right to complain about pie eating. That's all I'm saying. That same person that came up with the pie eating definitely also came up with blindside butterbeans. And if blindside butterbeans is going around the fan base, catching on like wildfire, that person's like, yeah, this is why I do what I do.
I mean, you're probably not wrong about that, but at least the blindside butterbeans is more ironic than the pie eating. You know what I mean? It's so much more applicable. It's so much more usable. You know what I mean? That pie eating was just crazy. Although I still think that the pie looks pretty good, but that's just me.
Like I said, no judgment. I'll use blindside butterbeans. I'm into it.
And you have to say it. Can you say it like Jasmine, though?
Oh, I can try.
We have that sound bite, please.
Blindside butterbeans.
You got. It was a you put a little bit too much in the R. That's more of a Texas accent. You want like a little bit more of a less rhotic R in the Mississippi.
I've never practiced the Southern. I do not have the Southern accent down at all.
Yeah, with Mississippi, there's no R's. It's blindside butterbeans.
Blindside butterbeans.
Okay. Yes, Tara moved over to California to start acting.
Maybe I'll start practicing. Maybe who's got the best Southern accent at RHAP? We gotta they can tutor me. I don't think any like people that like have a strong Southern accent, but we have people who can do Southern accents.
Texans, but they don't really have pronounced accents.
Mary probably can do a pretty good one.
Yeah, Mary can probably do a good one. Yeah. Well, I hope she makes an appearance as Jasmine. That'd be funny.
I can all right. Anyway, stay tuned for a future Amazing Race season featuring Amira and Nicole. Really, this is going to happen throughout the day. Amira talks a lot with a lot of people about the votes she thinks she has. She's like not 100% sure, but then she is 100% sure, but maybe like 90% sure. But then, yeah, okay, no, she's really sure. That's definitely going to be, okay, yeah, thing for sure. She's going to have the votes. And that's basically most of Amira's conversations throughout the day.
Yeah, just in the dark, baby. In the dark.
Yeah. Terrence does campaign to Indy, who's like, hey, I'm going to vote with my heart. And he's like, oh, okay. And then she goes and she tells Amira, hey, did you know Terrence is campaigning? And she's like, yeah. She's like, okay, don't worry, though. I got you. I'm voting for you to stay. Okay.
You know, I mean, a lot of us rolled our eyes whenever the feeds came back and it was Terrence. Don't worry, baby. You're safe. I'm going to go out of here. I live my life. I'm like, come the hell on, dude. A lot of us rolled our eyes at that. But I do think it has like sort of disarmed Amira a little bit because, I mean, there was never really a bad thing to say about Terrence coming from Amira anyway. But the fact that he was so willing to do that, but now that he sort of like switched his tune, it's like, of course he's going to want to try to say like, and there really isn't anything that she can really say other than that. Well, he's older and I'm younger and I can probably beat him. That's really all that she can say at this point. And he sort of has leeway to kind of be a little bit more conniving here because no one's really expecting him to do so.
Mm-hmm. So Kyle is going to have a conversation with Monty and Turner. He lets them know about how he friend zoned Alyssa. And he made it clear that nothing's going to happen in the house. He says, also, I learned another thing from Alyssa that apparently Jasmine, now remember, this happened during Jasmine's HOH. She opened up to Alyssa and told her that she actually runs a successful business to do with nails. Because she tells everyone she's just a nail tech or something. But she actually owns a nail business. And Beyonce has shouted her out.
You mean when Beyonce was shouting out like half of Texas and half the black businesses in the United States because she was trying to uplift us all?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
That's what it was. And so he's now found out about that via Alyssa, who continues to just spill everything. They wonder like, oh, can we use this at some point to cause more chaos? Like go to Daniel and be like, what's old school? Go to Jasmine and be like, hey, how's that business going? They're like,
not a bad idea.
We should be probably a little careful because they're going to be able to quickly point to Alyssa as the leak if we're not careful enough.
I mean, but it's not a bad idea. Maybe you don't need to rub Jasmine's business in her face, but at least like, you know, letting it slip that you found out about old school. I don't think that that's a bad thing to do. Maybe you don't have to do it this week. Maybe at the beginning of next week, especially if someone outside of the Leftovers wins HOH, like that could be used as a tool to pit people against each other. So I'm here for it.
I think that they should have somebody other than Kyle do it to add another layer of sort of like separation from Alyssa and where the information is coming from. Because like imagine Brittany going up to like Jasmine or Daniel being like, what's this I'm hearing about old school? What? How'd you hear about that? I don't know. I heard something, you know, like guys, somebody told me, like, who would have told Brittany? And then like, cause Michael has no idea. And then they can go to Michael and what are you talking about? Wait, what's old school? Like,
yep. Yeah. And everybody, to be clear, everyone knows about old school that's in Leftovers, right? Everyone knows at this point.
Everyone knows about old school. Everyone knows about everyone knows about everything.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, definitely.
Well, except for the pound. They don't know about the pound.
Oh, well. Okay. Well.
And the pound doesn't know about budding sort of Taylor, Michael, Brittany, Final Three.
Right.
But they know everything about the other alliances.
Definitely it's a tool in their box, that's for sure.
So they also talk a lot, and Kyle's again going to talk a lot about like who should the next target be. We talked about this a little bit last night on the roundtable, but like Kyle's in a weird position where he's like, okay, who should we target next? If we target Daniel, that means I have to go up on the block, and that's not ideal. Look, I trust the alliance, but like, mm-hmm. Who wants to go on the block? If we target the only pair left that is purely from the other side, it would be Indy and Alyssa. And we're not taking out Indy. So that would have to be Alyssa, which again, Kyle wants people to know that he's very willing to take out Alyssa. But obviously, in my opinion, based on who he's talking about targeting, wouldn't be his ideal target next. And then you've got Nicole and you've got Jasmine. He keeps trying to bring up Jasmine, but every time he brings up Jasmine, it's like, Jasmine, what are you talking about? It's like, I don't know. I think she's a threat. Like a threat, Jasmine, come on. He's like, yeah, right. Which basically only leaves Nicole. But the problem with targeting Nicole is that it would mean that Taylor goes up on the block again. Yeah. And people are much more willing to be like, sorry, Kyle, it's your turn, than sorry, Taylor, I know we just formed this alliance, but you're going to have to go on the block again because we got to take out Nicole, when there are other options, primarily being Daniel. So Daniel's kind of the primary option. But there are still some angles where it makes sense to go after Nicole, specifically for players like Joseph or Monty, who are in a position where if they win HOH, it fits the storyline for them to nominate Nicole and Taylor to be like, yeah, we're targeting Taylor because she's coming for us, and then blindside them again by voting out Nicole.
Yeah, but I do think that I do like that Kyle is trying to offer up these scenarios and these conversations to try to make sure that he is staying above the fray as much as possible. Is this also the same conversation where he is talking, like he's comparing Big Brother to Survivor, or was that a later conversation?
It's a little bit later, yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, we can talk about it now because I think it ties in to like their general planning. There's been a lot of ideas thrown out there. Mm-hmm. They're very exciting ideas. I'm worried that they won't do any of them because I want to see some of them happen. But yeah, Kyle talks about Survivor and he's like, there's this thing in Survivor called a live tribal. and it can really cause some chaos. And I'm wondering if we can bring that concept to Big Brother. And let me tell you, like, my heart went, Can you imagine Julie trying to control the chaos as Kyle stands up in the middle of the live eviction and is like, hold on, and walks over and whispers into somebody's ear. And Julie's like, I have no programming. What am I? Stop, everyone. Stop. And they just start rushing around like, come on, let's do this.
Ladies, gentlemen, please, please take your seats. Take your gentlemen, Kyle, take your seats. Whose turn is it in the diary room? Hello. Whose turn is it in the diary room? Okay, get up. It'd be glorious. And I thought it was an interesting idea. I mean, we've, you know, as super fans of all of these shows, we've compared them and contrasted them many, many times. But I thought that his, you know, way of like, which using the idea of a last minute frenzied vote, which we typically don't get to see, because if that does happen, the fees are already cut. And so if we do see any scrambling, it's, you know, we don't get to see any of that. But he's talking about using it during the vote to really hide the alliance, because then if someone lets slip, oh, wait, I don't think that that Amira has the votes. Like, I think that something might be going on. And then everyone gets scared into voting Amira out. Yeah, I mean, I think that, and then how do you, like, it's like, you have to try to keep going back and back and back and back and like, okay, well, who started this? Who did this? Who did this? Why? Who flipped first? Where did it come from? And I think it would be amazing to watch. And I think that it would be effective in keeping the alliance, you know, sort of covert.
Yeah, just like, just imagine a world where somebody comes into the diary room hallway as the other person is leaving the diary room. They do that cross. And they usually do some sort of like weird handshake or whatever, especially in Big Brother Canada. And sometimes we get little whispers in there that affect the vote. Let's imagine a world where a whisper happens in that hallway. And then the person who's heading to the diary room turns around, runs back out, and runs to the couches. It's like, hey, this person just told me. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Honestly. I mean, I always felt like it was so stifling that they have a rule of no talking. And I know that it's for programming issues. Like, you want to make sure that all of the focus is on Julie and whoever's voting in the diary room. Like, you don't want to miss anything during the vote. I get all of that. But yeah, what a potential for chaos if they are allowed to just continuously talk throughout all of that. And it's not like some of them don't just disregard the rules anyway. Like, I know that they're over there, like, on the couch, just like... Like, we know it happens, so might as well just let it.
Yeah. It would be fun. But as I said, I don't think it'll actually happen. Mm-hmm. I think these are, again, very Tyler-esque, kind of like throwing out a bunch of wild ideas. I'm not sure that any of them will actually happen. And there is no real conclusion to who the target should be either. Like, it's still just going to kind of be up in the air. It'll depend on who wins HOH and all of that. Kyle does want to try and figure out how do they, if they don't win HOH, how do they plant the target somewhere that is not Michael and Brittany or Monty and Joseph, so that they will have the numbers to vote, to save their alliance member if it happens. And so they're thinking. They've got their heads in the right place.
Definitely.
So we are going to eventually get to the Daniel and Taylor apology, in quotation marks. He says, I just want to clear some things up real quick. Look, I know this might sound weird, but I'm actually really glad that you weren't backdoored, because it's given me time to let my emotions settle. And if you had been backdoored, I probably would have just been like, who cares, you know? So it's actually probably a good thing that you didn't get backdoored. Here's what I want to say to you. You know, I stood up because I'm a loyal person. And yeah, I could have gone about it in a different way, but I was emotional, you know, high emotions. And clearly we butt heads, you know, we approach things differently. And I don't want things to be a certain way, you know, and I'm not just saying this because of the bullying thing, because I agree with Turner about the bullying thing. That's BS. That's BS. The bullying stuff. I agree with him. Bullying's bad. This is not just because of that. I don't want us to be like in a room, and I don't want you to feel like you can't be in that room, you know? And also, I don't want to feel like I can't be in that room. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to feel that way either. So I just, yeah. So that's what I'm kind of saying. Like, but yeah, so that's, I just wanted to take this moment for that. So, you know, hopefully in the future, if we butt heads, we just walk into different rooms, you know, and you know, I know that the dynamic looked bad, even though it was just me like standing up for a friend, like, but I don't look at it as male or female. I don't look at it as race. You know, I just was standing up for a friend. So, so yeah. Apology.
You know, like my good old big brother fave Davon always says, he didn't apologize. He apologized. Okay. You are far too old to not know how to just say sorry. Like, just say sorry. You know, I've been treating you like crap for the past 2 weeks. I've been wrong about a lot of things. I allowed the game to warp my mind and allowed myself to get sucked in and just treat you all types of way and talk to you any type of way. And I apologize. It's not okay. If you know, I would like to continue to sort of start to build some type of relationship or maybe even friendship with you. If that's not something that you want, I completely understand. I was in the wrong here. I totally understand that. I just want you to know that I know that and I accept that and I'm working on me and that I hope that you can enjoy the rest of your experience here. If our games don't align, completely understand. If they do, that's also great. But I just wanted to let you know, I apologize. I understand the error of my ways. I'm sorry. That just does wonders for one's soul. It really does. But he can't do it. And this just goes to show just another example of just another black lady in that house having to sort of extend so much grace because they don't want any of the comments that are going to come their way anyway about how they are just mean-spirited, aggressive, yada, yada, yada. She has to like follow this like sort of like script to sort of cover her bases before she can even respond. And I love the fact that she has the foresight to say, like, look, you're probably not going to have the best time with some of these fans outside of this game. And I want you to know that I am accepting your apology. I am taking it for what it is. And I would like to continue to be friends with you. And I don't want you to, you know, feel like I'm not on your side when we leave this thing. That's a step further than I would have even expected her to go. I would have just accepted, hey, look, I accept your apology. It is what it is. Let's just move on. But the fact that she is like, I will come out of this house and I will support you is like, that is. So I just, I'm very proud and impressed with her. I think that that is extremely evolved and extremely mature. And it's just a shame that it's being offered to someone who is not on that same level.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. And because it's such a weird spot for Taylor to be in too. Right. And we've talked about this before because we've seen people on the show be very gracious before. And it is, it's tough because even though Taylor's not like a super fan of Big Brother, she understands this landscape. She knows these shows. She knows the kinds of reactions that they get. It has to be difficult to not only be in a position where you are, you know, being mistreated in these situations, but also knowing that the people that are mistreating you, when you get out are going to be slammed in your name. And you are inevitably going to feel maybe not rightly so, maybe not fairly, but you're going to feel a sense of responsibility over the level of how much they get slammed. Right.
Right.
And so she is, I think, very genuine when she says like if things are bad for you on the outside, I will support you. She says to the cameras afterward, like, look, I don't want people to hate on Daniel. I don't want you to make him lose opportunities because of that moment. I hope that it's something that he can learn from. It can be a teachable moment. And I want to be friends with him on the outside. Nobody should be defined by their ugliest moment. I feel that. And I so appreciate who Taylor is that she is saying that. Right. Now there is an element to this that I think what she's saying is great. And I think that it is like probably very true for her. And probably will stay very true for her. Now, one of the things about this, of course, is that, again, she does not know the extent to which he has been talking about her. In her mind, it was that one ugly moment. It's like, we shouldn't be defined by that ugliest moment. But unfortunately, that hasn't even, I mean, we didn't see that moment, but like, even just later tonight, like he's got some ugly moments. There's a lot to choose from here. I don't know if she would feel exactly the same way if she knew the full extent of it. But I do think that her overall message would probably be the same because that's who Taylor is. And again, like, I do think there is another level of like, okay, so now like the worst of what Daniel gets when he gets out of this house, you know, probably death threats, probably, harassment, that's going to feel like Taylor's probably going to feel some level of responsibility for that. And that's not fair to her either, right? Like, it's just such a bad position for her to be in, all the way around. And so I hope that at the very least that we can respect that, who Taylor is and what she is, you know, hoping to accomplish here. For the most part, I think follow her lead. Definitely people need to be held accountable for things that they do. But, it's just another added layer of something that she's got to deal with now, which is so unfortunate.
It kind of reminds me of like the whole Kemi situation where, you know, she let slip about how, I mean, on top of what she was already going through in terms of like Jack. And then she let slip about what was being said to her in the diary room. One of the quotes from Kimmy that always sticks with me is that she's just sort of ashamed that this is all now part of her life story. You know what I mean? And while everyone is championing her outside of the house and saying, Kimmy this, Kimmy that, which is all very much warranted and she deserves all of that, she's always sort of been like, I kind of just want to be done, y'all. Like, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Yeah. And I feel like that's sort of like where we're at now with this situation with Taylor. It's like, while I believe her and that she wants everyone to operate with as much grace and kindness as possible, which is not going to be the case. It's part of that is because that's a lot to have to deal with all the time, because Big Brother fans, they will not let things go ever. And this is not to demonize anybody in the fandom, but I hope that people take her example and say, you know what? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with holding people accountable for their actions. There's nothing wrong with having hard conversations about how we treat one another, but that has to take place in an arena where some type of grace is being offered. Because if we're coming into to have these conversations or holding people accountable in bad faith, that's not a breeding ground for progress. It does not bode well for anyone. And then it just turns into a vicious cycle of nasty behavior and nasty verbiage on all fronts. And I think that it's so easy to just say that person is horrible, they're irredeemable. It's so easy to do that. But I honestly just beg people to just try to show just an ounce of compassion. I swear to you, it feels so much better. And it's not letting people slide. It's understanding everyone's humanity. And a friend of mine, he had a tweet thread yesterday talking about how this season has really made him examine how, like, you know, the concept of forgiveness and giving people grace. And I think something that sets apart this particular group of individuals, once again, it's still kind of early, so I'll have to wait and see how they move outside of the house and how they move throughout the rest of the season. But I feel like you have to recognize when there is a real shift in people's behavior and a genuine understanding of where they went wrong. Like the whole thing with Turner yesterday morning, him saying, you know what, I was a part of that. I understand that now. I don't want to continue this behavior. That to me is someone that understands, ooh, I made a mistake. I need to now rectify it. If people are showing me that, to me, I'm only going to take you at your word. I'm going to take you at what I'm seeing, because I don't want to come to the table expecting you to be horrible, because then you're just going to be horrible. And then it's just going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I just hope that people are able to have that in the back of their minds whenever they're talking to these house guests, whenever they leave, and even to the ones that have already left. And I know that particular situation is another can of worms that we don't have to get into, but I think it's even more so in that situation because clearly, so that's it. That's my rant.
Yeah. And I think it's also important to remember as well that, like, you know, I don't think anybody is required to show grace or to engage in conversations with, you know, people that either have hurt them or have indirectly hurt them because of their actions. Like, mm-hmm. Like it's not anybody's responsibility as somebody that is like the wronged party to have to always, you know, bring grace and acceptance to the table. I personally would say just like, you know, you don't have to engage with people, with these people at all. Right. Like, like that's fine. Like, respect your own mental health, like do what makes sense for you.
And that's where I'm approaching. It just feels it. I promise you, it feels so much better because, like, I think that we're all right down there at some point where you are just so pissed off at somebody that you just want to just tear them to shreds. Like, mm-hmm. I don't feel good. I promise you, it does not feel good. Like, because especially since we've seen time after time and time after time and time after time that a lot of these house guests, they don't care, or they don't care enough to admit that they're wrong. You coming at them, they're not. They're just going to say, "Oh, look at that!" Like, they're going to paint the entire fandom with a big brush, saying like, all of you guys are toxic. All of you guys are this. All of you guys are that. You don't understand the house. You don't understand it unless you're playing. We've heard it all before. So I don't even know why you would even want to engage in that type of conversation. That's what I'm saying. You put your energy in the people that are actually trying to change. Put your energy into those people. Give it to those people.
I mean, you know, I would personally, though, again, say that, like, you know, to a degree as well. Like, I do think that, you know, if you feel like what's right for you is that you do want to stand up and you do want to say, like, hey, this is wrong. Like, stop doing this. If somebody makes a post on social media that's just like, what are you doing? Like, yeah, be like, what are you doing? You know? Like, I think like the core of what I'm trying to say, at least, is that, like, you know, be kind to yourself in these situations, and do what fits best for you. Don't be catering to a specific person. It's nobody's job to try to educate or to try to make somebody change. And it's not your responsibility to handle them in a specific way. And that's what I hope that Taylor feels, is that, like, I hope that she doesn't feel any responsibility for, what happens with Daniel on the outside, because there's nothing that she can do. She can say all she wants. There's nothing that she can do. There's nothing that we can do. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. And, you know, like, you know,
the world is going to give him that energy back.
Protect your own peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't hold his hand throughout all of that. So it is definitely, it's a delicate balance, the nature of justice and karma. But
yes, I can say that the way that I approach this is, you know, personally, I want to call out behavior. Obviously, I'm not going to be like harassing anybody or anything like that. But I think it's important to call out the behavior. I think it's important to point out when people are doing things that are wrong. And for me, with this platform, try to teach and educate people as to why it's wrong and how they can do better. That's how I view my own role in this. Yep. Nobody else has to, you know, have that role. Like, if that's not your role, that's fine. Also, like, everybody, you know, again, just do what feels right to you, I think. And you know, we'll all be doing our best.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming to our TED Talk.
See, and this is the kind of discussion that somebody like Taylor can, you know, inspire because of the way that she approaches situations. And I have so much respect for that, even if I don't think that, you know, she should be required or that she is required to respond in that way.
Because let's be clear, if she had decided to say, you know what, Daniel, F off. Woo! Yeah! Like, she is not required. Like, she can say whatever she needs to say because she has been getting dragged, okay? But that's not the energy that she's operating on, so it is what it is.
So, you know, because we're on this, let's just talk about the end of the night here. Daniel and Nicole really just continue to dig themselves a hole here. They're going to dunk more on Turner's move. It was a lame move. But they go on to say, we haven't done anything wrong. We haven't done anything wrong. And Nicole, she says, I really hate the way that Taylor is talking about this, like she knows how people are going to think and that they're definitely going to be against Daniel. Like, oh, Daniel's going to have a hard time when he gets out of here. Like, you don't know that. Like, you don't know that at all. She says the issue is not that she's a black woman. The issue is that she's a bully. And Daniel's like, exactly. And he says, you know, and I really appreciate having Terrence and Monty's support in this because, like, they're standing up for me here. And that's how I know I'm in the right.
She just cannot stop making a fool of herself. It is so mind boggling. It's like the steep drop from last week. And it's not even like she was like that high in my last week, but like just the steep drop is just that she does not handle being wrong well at all. At all. And not to get too political, but that's just like crazy that you were. I'm not even gonna go down that road, but it's just like And then you wonder why. Like, it should. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's so wild to me. And this is again, like, this is why Taylor knows what they're about to face. And this is why they should face pushback when they get out of the house, because like they know it's come. And here's the thing. They're trying to like inoculate themselves to it.
Right.
They're trying to be like, well, obviously there's going to be pushback, but only the people in here know. And that's why it's always the canned line. And it's like, just for the love of everything holy and Big Brother, can somebody tell contestants to not get out of the house and say, live feeds don't show everything? Because it's literally what every single one of them who has an issue says when they get out of the house. And it's such a cliche and it's so bad. And it's like, how do you not know that this is like the worst thing that you can say right now? It's like, I don't care what classes you've taken. You clearly have no idea what this fan base knows, has talked about. You don't know anything about the culture of this show. You don't see everything. We know more than you do.
That was a new one. I will at least give that person props for that, because I haven't heard that one before. That was crazy. They swear that all of like their shining moments, the moments when they weren't acting terrible, all happened when the cameras weren't on them. Like when the camera was in the kitchen, they were mysteriously upstairs in the HOH room being the most wonderful human beings on the planet. Or when the cameras were down for the competition, or when the cameras were down because it's Thursday and the eviction's coming up. That's when all of their greatest hits happened. That's when they were performing all of their greatest hits. But every other time the camera was on them, that was manipulated, though. I was like, shut up. Like, come on. Like, we cannot do this anymore. We cannot do this anymore.
I'm saying it's because it's like, look, it's like people are like, they're going to have their own version of their Notes app apology, and it's going to be whatever. Like, nothing is going to stop that, right? But at the very least, somebody in production can just be like, just as a heads up, don't say the words "the feeds don't capture everything," because that is going to sink. No matter what you say, that will sink you to the bottom. Like, you will be lost forever if you say that. Like, give these people some help, because it feels like it's the opposite. It feels like on their way out, they're like, listen, the fans will say what they say, but just remember, the feeds don't show everything. Because they all have the same like canned line. It's so bad.
The thing is, I feel like Nicole really dragged herself down into the mud for this, because I feel like at first, you know, back during week one and week two, Nicole really wasn't at the forefront of all of this Taylor hate. It was more so the rest of the girls. And then whenever Daniel became involved in it, that's when she sort of like started to allow herself to deflate by it. And then it all came to a head when she got a certain line of questioning in the DR, and then she went to say that, oh my God, I can't feel bad about this because she's a horrible person. And now it's just like, it's snowballing. Like, I feel like if you had just, because there are moments of clarity with her where she was like, you know what, y'all, I don't think that Taylor's telling a lie here. I think that everyone else is like ganging up on her. Where did that go? Why did you allow yourself to just get pulled down into this? Because now you're doubling down on it. You're trying to like cape for Daniel. It's just not good. It's just not good. Like, a guilty mind speaks the loudest. If you're the one that's running around saying all this stuff, like, even Jasmine and all them aren't rolling around saying, like, well, it's not us. It's not like you're the one that's doing it to, like, you're putting so much pressure on yourself. It's crazy.
And I apologize that we've taken a lot of time on this in the update. There's not a lot that happened yesterday. but like, it's so like, we are seeing, because there's like, oh, cancel culture. And it's like, we are seeing exactly the difference here between, okay, noticing that something could be wrong, and somebody like Turner being like, I did something wrong. I want to rectify that. I want to change that. I can't believe I did that thing that was wrong. Versus, I might have done something wrong. No, I didn't. excuse me? And in the denial and in the justification, making it worse, doubling down, and then doing the behavior in a worse way. Like, Daniel didn't start this way. He was nice to Taylor. He liked Taylor. And it wasn't until other people said, no, we don't like Taylor. And then the idea got in his head. It's the second the idea got in his head, like, oh, this might look bad that you're nominating her. That's when things really started to spiral as he started to try to justify himself and his own behavior. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And all he needed to do in that moment was be like, yeah, maybe it is bad. Maybe I should look at what I'm doing. And maybe do something else. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, let's talk through the rest of the day. There are a couple of things. Again, I apologize, but there were some of those things from yesterday really, really set me off. And then, you know, the whole feeds thing, like Brittany and Michael talking about the feeds. They're like, you know, it's important to recognize that the people at home watching the feeds know so much more than we do. It's like, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You know the show.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The disparity, man. The disparity.
Turner talks to Jasmine. He tells her Nicole is also somebody that knew that he was having second thoughts about putting Taylor up on the block prior to it happening. So he's dropping more seeds against Nicole and Daniel. He also tells her that he heard that Amira actually makes $250,000 a year at Google. So just saying. she can make the prize money in 3 years is all I'm saying.
I mean, you know, I'm typically not one to talk about somebody else's purse, but when Turner made that point yesterday to himself in the cameras and he was like, well, I mean, like, if she's making that much, like, she's going to make the prize in 3 years with love, of course. I lost myself. It was so funny.
And so Jasmine goes to Amira and she says, Turner told me that you make $250K a year. And Amira's like,
oh, what?
I only told Kyle that. Uh-oh.
It was like, why would you say that at all? In a game for money, why are you talking about your money? What is wrong with you?
Yeah. They also talk about not trusting Daniel and Nicole, talking about that stuff. They can't count on Daniel and Nicole's votes. But Amira is like, hold on. I only told Kyle this. So she goes and confronts him about this. Are you really voting for me to stay? Yeah, of course. Listen, I heard that I make $250K a year and you're the only person I told that. And he is full on denial. I know. That can't be true. I can't be the only person because I definitely haven't said anything. Why would I say anything about that? And she's like, Kyle, I literally haven't even told Alyssa because I know she can't keep her mouth shut. And he's like, yeah, I mean, you're right about that. She has told me some things.
Maybe it was Alyssa.
I don't know. Maybe somebody overheard. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell you. And so he just keeps denying. He's, I'm totally with you. Don't worry about it. They keep
the absolute worst person to tell too, because this is you are the one that's at Google traveling the world, making $250K. And you told the guy that is living with his parents that is unemployed right now. And not to say that Kyle is destitute. He's not. But like, just like the difference in lifestyles, like you just you chose the wrong person to tell. The absolute wrong person.
Yeah. They keep talking numbers and votes. She's not sure. She's like, there's just something about Monty. I'm just not completely sure I can rely on him. But she does feel very good about the votes. She doesn't fully trust Nicole or Daniel either. And she even actually at one point goes into like, you know, Daniel did. He did try to make like a side alliance with like me and Alyssa and a couple other people, like, you know, but that didn't really go anywhere. And it's again, like, kind of true. Like old school hasn't really been a thing in a while, but it certainly helped solidify the other side of the house.
Taking out the pasture, like it really did, right into the retirement home. Because what are they doing?
So there we go. That's interesting. So I'm curious to see where this goes for Kyle. If this makes him more cautious moving forward, or more brazen moving forward. But he's definitely like, you know, he's now, I think, in a position where he's a lot more likely to be caught because he's already kind of been caught with this thing. So we'll see where this goes. This all kinds of kind of happens later into the night. I think we'll see more of the fallout today, potentially, and see what Kyle has to say about this some more. It was interesting.
Yeah, definitely. He likes to play. Kyle is a lot of fun to watch in the feeds, even before he was doing all of this, just laying the groundwork for this type of gameplay to even be employed by spending the first couple of weeks just talking to everybody, establishing connections, talking about religion, talking about life. And now he's getting a little bit more, you know, it's like, let me get in people's ears. Let me start creating like a little sidelines. Let me do this. Let me do that. And, you know, just control yourself just a little bit. Be a little bit more judicious with who you're, you know, revealing things. So I think he's okay. I don't think this is too much of a blunder because considering Amira is probably going to be out of here. And the worst thing that Amira can say is, don't trust Kyle. But like, I mean, I don't really think that's going to hold much water. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. This is all getting like Jasmine's business, Turner's Tesla, Amira's 250K. Like this stuff is spreading. And Brittany wants to get in on the game as well. She's going to talk to the cameras about how she's wondering if she should tell Michael about her real job. She's not sure. She talks through the pros and the cons. He'd have this secret on me, but I do want to open up to him about it. She's not sure if she wants to say it. She's going to consider this as well.
I mean, I was about to make the point that no one really cares, but it is showing that with Amira's job, people do care. But I'm just like so over this whole like, oh, I'm gonna be an undercover this, I'm gonna be an undercover that. I don't care. Like, if I'm playing Big Brother, I really don't care if you're a doctor, if you're a teacher, if you're an actor. Are you voting to keep me or not? Like, I don't give a shit. That's just where I'm at with it. So, and you know, if she wants to reveal her being a hypnotherapist, I don't really know how applicable that is with the game. Unless it's just something that you want to feel free to talk about, go ahead. If you feel like it's going to establish some kind of connection with someone, feel free, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, speaking of like Brittany getting the respect that she might need to potentially win this game, I think that having a job title like therapist, it could be good. When she reveals it, like, I think probably waiting until like a final two chair is probably a little late to be like, and actually I'm a therapist. Like, okay, Brittany. But I do think that eventually revealing this job title could be a good thing for her. Just to like win some respect from this house that is like, that doesn't really respect her game very much right now. We'll see.
She was a rat for like 2 weeks and now she's like just a rat in a cage right now being with the leftovers. And I'm just like, yeah, it's not, that image isn't really changing yet. So,
That's pretty much what we've got for today. I know we spent a lot of time on the feeds don't see everything stuff, but there really was like, it's a slow day. We're waiting for the blind side to happen. I mean, the feeds have still been great because of the trick that's being pulled on the other side here. And even like watching them be super obnoxious is still like, just wait. Just wait. So yeah. That's going to be fun.
Have we speculated on the twist yet? And like what happens with the remaining person?
I mean, we can speculate all we want, but like, it could be any number of things at this point. I think we've heard a lot of theories, but
who knows? I hope it is not an immunity thing. I feel like that would just really just mess everything up. That would just really suck. But yeah, I guess we'll find out on Thursday.
Michael said he thinks it could be like Terrence chooses a new partner who then the partner that he steals that is now alone then chooses a new partner, and it goes down in a chain like that until everybody has new partners. Yeah, that's possible too. But then, you know, there'd still be one person left out. I assume that would probably be the HOH at that point, but who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know. Hmm. It could be anything. Anything else that you wanted to bring up here, Iman?
No, that's pretty much it. I do like the fact that, I mean, Amira is so wrong and in the dark. But I do like the fact that she really has been, you know, trying her best to make sure that she stays, make sure that the votes are there. I would have thought that she would have had just a little bit more chops to be like, because she's like halfway there. She's like, he would not have done this if he did not think that he had the votes to get me out. We just need to figure out who those votes are. But she's not really doing any of that work to figure it out. Now, granted, there's a group of seven people that are snowing everybody else. So it's really, really hard. But there's still just like an irrefutable confidence that she has that I'm like, girl, it's not good. It's not good. So let's see what happens on Thursday.
Well, thank you all for listening to the update. The update's a great place if you want to know about everything that's happening.
Because I think they do like daily updates.
They do a lot. Yeah.
It's like, what? Listen to this thing if you want to know like everything.
Like everything. Yeah. From that.
Taryn.
That guy. Taryn Armstrong, whatever.
Not her like trying to play it off as if she's not over here freaking listening to all the updates and everything. Girl, you know everything. At least you got your name right, though, Taryn.
I know. I mean, like, I don't doubt that she's not like a super big listener. I could see, like, I mean, she did listen to a 5-hour game recap with Kevin Jacobs.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like,
but then she went to go listen to. Look, she also talked about the Tiffany deep dive, and he was like, "Oh, how long was that?" She was like 2 hours. No.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have time for that one. Like, okay, all right. I didn't have time for Tiffany. That's fine. That's fine.
I think she'd be listening to the whole thing. She's just trying to play it off. That's what I think.
If Brittany's husband, if you're watching, hey, what's up?
Aaron. Or I'm
and Cayman. This is Cayman. Yep.
Nice to meet you.
So that was fun. Obviously we talked a little bit about it. It happened during the roundtable yesterday that Michael and Brittany talked about the Kevin Jacobs deep dive and the podcast in general. So always fun when we get some references by people that don't talk. And so that's what we've got. Thank you all for joining us here today. I appreciate you all being here. I appreciate you guys checking out these updates. Updates have been pretty fun lately. So let's hope the streak continues. We'll have one more update tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update on what happens today. And then we'll have hopefully the blind side, the chaos. And we'll talk through it all on Friday morning after all of that happens. There will be an episode tonight. I'll be live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, watching tonight's episode live. Hopefully it's an all-timer. That would be great. I feel like we've got the content to make that happen. So make sure you're tuning in live to my Twitch channel tonight to see what kinds of reactions I have. And then after the episode, of course, we'll also have a podcast to recap what goes down. We also spoke with Kevin Jacobs, not a 5.5-hour conversation, but a shorter one, like a 1.5-hour conversation. Rob and I talking to Kevin Jacobs about the season. It was a very, very fun conversation. We talked through some interesting concepts and ideas. So make sure you check that out. And I think that's about what we've got. I will be dropping another Among Us video today. So you can check that out as well. I don't think you're in them yet. You're coming soon though.
Okay.
I've got, within the next like five or so, I've got the Jester round. queued up. So you play a prominent role in that one.
I think I know exactly which game you're talking about. Yeah, that'll be fun.
All right. Amon, what are you up to?
We are coming to a close with RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars, All Winners on Friday. The episode will come out and we will finally get our queen of all queens. So you should expect our finale coverage in your feeds probably by Sunday or Monday. And yeah, that's it for me. I just did an episode of The Slop with Rob. So if you are a patron, you've probably already seen it. And if you haven't seen it, become a patron.
All right.
We had a surprise surprise visit from Pooch. So that was a lot of fun.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us here today. And I will see all of you next time.